myself through it, so I know it's working. You want to put that in a pocket?
Yeah. Is it going to be too loud?
All right, you got it?
I don't know, is that okay?
Yeah.
Or is it too loud?
No, you'll take care of the loudness up there.
Okay. That's why you got Tom up there, huh? John chapter 14. Okay, whew. I guess we'll settle that down a little bit, Brother Tom. It's good to be here today with you, and appreciate Brother Justin allowing me to do this, fill in for him, and he's doing fine. It's good to see some ladies there in the back row. Good to see them here this morning. And, I know some of you would probably rather not see them, but you know, it's. I know. I'm sorry. I'm just playing with you. But, we do want to remember those that have expressed special interest in our prayers. We want to lift them up in a very special way. And, I want to read the three verses of Scripture in John chapter 14. And the subject that I've chosen for this is on the way home. On the way home. There's a lot to think about that when you verse 1 of John chapter 14 said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity and privilege that you've given us to approach your throne of grace in prayer. Father, I'm so honored to be able to call you our Father and our Savior and our soon coming Redeemer. And we know, Father, that it won't be long before you come and take us home. And we're excited about that. And we want to lift up those that may not have trusted you as their Savior. We pray, Father, that they might do that today, whatever the needs might be, that they might do that today and call on you as Savior of their soul. Father, we know that that's a permanent fixture once it's done. And we want them to know that. And we want them to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to stand before this thy people. May these things said and done, and every decision made, exalt the very name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you and praise you in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. There's something about that word home that grips the very heart of a person. I remember when I was in the military and I was stationed in North Dakota, I'd catch a flight home every now and then on a weekend just so I could be home and be with my family and everything. And it was always pretty easy and convenient to hop a flight to Texas from North Dakota, and the weather was always so different compared to North Dakota. Always excited about getting out of that cold weather, but anyhow, that's where I spent 3.5 years. And it could have been worse. Could have been 4 years. But there's just something about the word home that grips the heart. It's always meant something special to me. And but there are, and of course, the more loved ones that you have at home, then the more precious it is. And that's something that I can go where I grew up, and I really don't have any family there at all anymore. And they've all grown up and moved away, or and a lot of family friends that you have, they've all grown up and moved away. And but anyhow, it's great to be here with you this morning. There's three things that's is of most importance when considering this subject. First of all, life and death. And what do I want most when you think about it? Is it money? Is that something that's really important important to you? And I don't know, folks. A man returned from the Klondike gold rush with about $300,000 worth of gold, but he had left a buried son beneath the ice, his only son, and he had this to say: "We would gladly part with all our gold if we only had our boy back." And that is so true. Is it life? How long of a life? 50 years? 100 years? No one wants to die, folks. No one wants to die. But then when we look in the scripture, it's, in Psalms 90 and 10, it tells us that we have 70 years, which is an acceptable time. And I pass that. And some of you may have also. But James chapter 4, verse 14 has this to say about that. It says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away." And our life is like that, folks. Our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. A little time is all that we have. And a little time we need to take and use to exalt the very name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is coming again, folks. And one thing I know, that if he delays his coming, we're all going to die. We can't escape that time. We can't escape death. It's going to come. To each and every some, it's going to come sooner than later, but I know that when we look in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after death then comes judgment." So it's something that's going to happen to all of us, but we can be ready for it, folks. We can be ready, and there's only one thing we have to do, and that's to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that will seal your eternal destiny forever. No charge. No charge. And when we look in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22, it says, For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You can have eternal life, folks. And I hope that you do have. But there's only one way that you can have eternal life. And that's, again, by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's a very simple process, folks. Very simple decision. And it seals your eternal destiny forever. And we want you to do that more than anything else. There's a lot of things I can do without, which is no big deal. But one decision that I'm glad I made, and that's to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Most important decision I ever made. And I hope that each and every one of you can say that as well. It says in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto men once to die, then after death, then comes judgment. That's pretty tough stuff, folks. Because one thing I want this morning, for each and every one of you, to know that you've trusted Christ Jesus as your personal Savior. And if you've not done that, you can change that before you leave here this morning. I'm talking with a number of people, men and women, and I'll be glad to talk to you about it, because that decision is so very important, because that determines your eternal destiny. And that's something you need to think about, folks. But we can have eternal life. And when we look in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Well, that's a pretty serious question. And I hope you believe that, because that's something I want you to have, is eternal life. And there's only one person that can determine that, and that's between you and the Lord. That's the decision I can't make for you. It's the decision that no one else can make for you. You're the only one that can make that decision. And that decision will seal your eternal destiny forever. Very important, folks. In John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, I know I read that, I want to read it again. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You have a home, permanent home in heaven. Guaranteed. Guaranteed, folks. There's a lot of things that I can't guarantee you up here today. A lot of things I don't know. But one thing I do know, if you'll let Jesus have a hand in your eternal destiny, he'll take you all the way. He'll take you into heaven, and you'll be able to spend eternity there, no charge. I'm glad that I've sealed my eternal destiny, and I hope that you will too, if you haven't. You can seal your eternal destiny forever and ever, no charge. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. This life is received as a gift, no charge. You say, well, you keep repeating that. Yes, I do. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's a gift. I like that gift. And I hope all of you have received that gift. If you haven't, you can before you leave here today. One of the most important decisions you will ever make concerns your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Life and death. It's preparation also that you need to think about. There are three ways of getting or trying to get what you want. Honest work. Titus 3 and 5 says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration of the Holy Ghost. Three ways, honest work, but then you have a way of the dishonest gain in John 10 and 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So there's a way of dishonest gain, but there's another way, and that's with a gift. One can only make preparations for heaven by accepting the gift of God. And we see this in Romans 6 and 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. To me, that's the most important gift that I can offer you. And I know it's free, and I know where it comes from. It comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can have it. I would love for you to have it if you haven't accepted him yet as your personal Savior. Then we have this in Revelation 22 and 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely, no charge. I love to think about that, and I love to talk about that, because it's so very important. Then arriving home. When I was in the military, I was in North Dakota, and a lot of times I hitchhiked home from North Dakota. And sometimes it took a long time, sometimes it was rather quickly. You get someone that'd take you all the way. But if I had to catch someone, it seems like the Lord always provided someone to take me home. One of the fondest memories I have of my childhood is the humming of my mother's when she is in the kitchen or outside working, humming a song. Heaven is a special place, folks, and it's a place that I hope that every one of you have made plans to go. Listen, I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. Heaven is a place of noble people. And I want you to think about the different contrast between heaven and hell and the people that may be there one way or the other. It's a choice that they made. And it's a choice I hope that you'll make by choosing Christ as your Savior. There's remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. But there's also another verse of scripture that I want to read to you in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. A place of perfect beauty. It says this in verse 18 of Romans chapter 8. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let me read that again. I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And that's Romans 8 and 19, a place of perfect beauty. But there's another scripture in 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Isn't it exciting what God has prepared for us in the future? It's so precious, folks. And I hope that each and every one of you have accepted this. I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God has prepared something special for us in heaven. I would say for some of you it may be sooner, some of you it may be later, but either way, we got a trip coming. And I hope that trip is well planned by you, by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, well, you say that a lot. Yes, I do, because it's so important. And that determines your eternal destiny. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you seal your eternal destiny forever. You seal it. Then there's a place of incorruptible mansion. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we have these words: to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There's an incorruptible mansion that's prepared for you. And it's exciting, folks. And there's no charge. All it takes is the decision from you to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And it's a place of reunion. Children will play in the streets in Zechariah chapter 8, verse 5. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. I thought about this the other day. We were in bed asleep one night about midnight, and we heard something bang, bang, bang on our patio, top of our patio. So what in the world is that? And I got up, and we turned the alarm off, and I went out the back, and I knew it was some kids because I'd been hearing them play. I hollered at them, said, what are you girls doing out there? Of course, it's all boys. It's no girls. And I heard them running into the house. But anyhow, one of them come up and told me the next day that he was the one that threw that ball across there and everything. But it was funny. But they're always playing out there, and I don't mind. I'm thankful that they got the freedom to do that. And but heaven will be a place of supreme joy. In Psalms 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Then we have in Psalms 17 and 15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I'm thankful that I have a Savior that I can call on. I'm thankful that I have a Redeemer, a soon coming Redeemer, that's going to come back and take me home. The only thing that I could pray more so than that is that you know this same Redeemer. You know this same God. And if not, that you might trust him this morning. Before you leave here, that you might trust him as your Savior. Because that's the most important decision you're going to make, folks. And I say that with all the kindness and mercy and that I can think of, because it's so important to you. I want Brother Gary to come now and lead us in an invitation hymn. But I want you to think about this decision. You'll be standing up here in a few minutes. And understanding that the decision that you make could determine your eternal destiny forever. One thing I can't guarantee you is a safe trip home. Because there'll be people like me on the road. And my wife doesn't think that's too safe. But I want you to know that you can seal your eternal destiny by trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Most important decision you'll ever face and you'll ever make. And I want you to do that this morning. If you've never done that, I want you to do that. So this morning, as we stand, I hope that you'll trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior.